All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, February 23rd of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have three sports already underway in League of Legends, tennis, and soccer for today. Good luck to all of you playing those slates. For the rest of the day, we have a three-game NBA main slate, which should be fun. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. Happy to be back after a little break yesterday on Sunday. We do have some questions here in the queue, so you're going to get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. Got the three-game NBA main slate for tonight ready to go, and we are just going to work our way through the questions from the top down here in the YouTube chat to start. So first question of the day came in from Sean. Sean said, hello, coming back again to SaberSim. Welcome. Question is, with the new layout, how do I know which lineups match the old school GPP button and 150 max contest for Saber Score? It looks like there's a couple questions here. I actually kind of want to read through them in case there's kind of some overlap. Another question, also in the videos, Jordan runs his Sims before lock with RAROI, the risk adverse one, but I don't see that when I run Sims, just normal ROI and ROI standard deviation. And also last question, when using the new diversification and portfolio, is this like an automatic min unique diversifier or is it different from modifying your min uniques? Thank you. And lastly, what about min uniques when it comes to showdown? Okay, so kind of a lot to unpack here. I can definitely understand how, if you haven't used SaberSim in a little while, like a year or two, a lot has changed. The UI has changed. The primary sorting metrics have changed. You know, all of these questions make sense, right? I think where I want to start is talking about the old risk-adjusted ROI and the new portfolio. Okay, so this is probably like the most important thing to understand. So when we first released Contest Sims, we only had ROI in the app. Now, it could be very aggressive. I remember it being aggressive. We released Contest Sims in baseball season, and the Contest Sim engine would basically favor very low-owned teams in the form of stacking them, because when they did good, their ownership was so low, you had a very kind of easy path to first place with not a lot of competition playing those stacks. Well, the problem is with that, if you solely optimize for ROI, you might end up on these plays that, you know, maybe they are good, for example, like maybe they're good 3% of the time, but the field's only rostering them at 1.5%. Well, the sim engine is going to see them like, hey, you know, this is a good leverage spot. Let's kind of attack it. And then you get these very concentrated exposures on these plays that are very low owned for some good reason, right? We originally tried to combat that with what we called risk-adjusted ROI. We basically understood that, hey, you know, these plays, while they might return a long ROI over the long run, we need to be careful with having too much exposure to these spots that are high risk, high reward. That was effectively what risk-adjusted ROI set out to do. What portfolio is, in my opinion, I think this is the version two. I think this is the upgrade from risk-adjusted ROI. Now what portfolio does, and I can demonstrate this with a build. So let's run some lineups. All right, we're just waiting for these lineups to load up here. Almost done. Okay. So we are in the post build. Our lineups have created. I'm going to create a group here. And we're going to use the portfolio diversification, okay? So what you're going to notice with portfolio, and this is also important, portfolio, just straight portfolio, uses SaberScore as its primary source of truth. That's the metric it is primarily optimizing around. Portfolio Plus is what you would have on Ultimate. That's going to use the ROI of whatever contest is attached to this group. But for this one, we're going to use SaberScore, okay? Notice how when I'm using portfolio, my SaberScores are not in order. They are not highest SaberScore to lowest, okay? If I go over to Uniques 1, and then I change the rank by here to match to SaberScore. Well, now they are in order, okay? So SaberScore, the top SaberScore will always be used first in a portfolio. And then in Uniques 1, you'll get highest SaberScore to lowest, okay? Now, what Uniques does, right, is it just takes high to low. What portfolio does different is it says, hey, I understand we're going to start with our top SaberScore lineup. But from there, it's going to look at all of the lineups in the pool. And then it's effectively going to try and determine which lineup best complements the one that came before or the ones that came before. So for instance, SaberSim, the portfolio optimizer here, has determined that this 100 SaberScore lineup plays better long-term in terms of smoothing out your results, in terms of giving you shots to take down the contest. This 100 SaberScore lineup plays better. It complements the 306 SaberScore lineup the best, even though there are other SaberScore lineups that have a higher SaberScore. There's a 177, there's a 143, there's a 112. It's passing these others up in favor of the 100. And then for like the third lineup, it's going to look at both of the ones that came before. Okay, well, what lineup now complements the two that came prior? And then it settles on the 177. So the portfolio is, I want to call this out specifically because you said this. You asked, is portfolio like an automatic Minuniques diversifier? Not quite, okay? Portfolio does not take into account Uniques. You could have two lineups in your 20 that share 7 out of 8 players. So the portfolio diversifier does not account for Minuniques, but it does in a better, smarter way, understands the correlation between the lineups. And when you are using the same players between lineups, that's obviously a lot of correlation. So it's taking all of that into account in a more intelligent / less brute force manner than Uniques, and giving you a set of lineups back that are optimized not only for their own individual performance, but understanding the performance of the other lineups in that contest specifically. So that is my best breakdown of like ROI, risk-adjusted ROI, portfolio, and kind of how it works here on the new UI. As far as the showdown question, I would still use portfolio. We would recommend using portfolio across the board. Showdowns, classics, satellites, GPPs, it doesn't matter. The only time I wouldn't use it is if I were playing cash. I would be still using projected score for cash games overall. So I think that covers the majority of this. Let me know if there's any follow-up or anything I missed. Going to move on to the next question. Question from Taylor. When filtering out ROI in the lineup pool, would it be ideal to go higher than zero, say like 80 or 100, while keeping exposure reasonable? I think you can experiment with it. You know, I think that it is okay to push the boundary or like push the envelope with regard to filters. I'm pretty comfortable playing any lineup above 0% ROI. I think the only word of caution I would have here is to understand that ROIs of contests are going to be different. And I call it a contest's achievable ROI. You know, in a small field single entry, the highest ROI lineup in the post contest sim might be 30%. But in a large field GPP, the highest achievable ROI lineup might be 100% ROI for like a simple example, right? So, you know, you just want to be careful taking one number and applying it to all of your contests. Understand that different contests have different dynamics. So it's also okay, right? If you come up and you run a build, say you're playing a 20 max, and then say you're playing a single entry, and you look and the ROI of the 20 max is 100%, and then the ROI of the single entry down here on the bottom, I'm going to change this to one, is 30, right? Like, hey, why is my single entry ROI so low? There's actually nothing wrong with that. It just has to do with the size of the contest, strength of the field, and potentially the payout structure too. So just keep that in mind. There's like not really a one size fits all kind of filter there. Aside maybe from greater than zero, I think like that is fine. But when you venture above that threshold, then just be a little careful. Jimmy said, how accurate is the ownership percentages this past Sunday for NASCAR? SaberSim showed the driver, I'm assuming Austin Dillon or Ty Dillon, I don't know which one, to be 2% owned. But when the contest started, he was 17% owned. So I do know this is only the second week of the NASCAR season. I do know our team pays a lot of attention to early season performance in terms of projections, in terms of ownership. We do a lot of QA and like back testing as the seasons begin to see where we need to tweak things. So I would say that things like this typically get better as the season goes on. Part of it, you know, I think that I don't exactly want to call NASCAR a small sport, but I think in terms of DFS, it's a little bit on the smaller side. There is a little less, what is the word I'm looking for? There is less agreement, I would say, across the industry on projections in smaller sports. That goes for like MMA, that goes for NASCAR. I think that goes for other sports, maybe like Formula One, but where they're just like are not widely available projections. Like everywhere you look, there's not super, super liquid like betting markets like NFL or props or things like that, right? So I think that leads to, hey, this source has these projections. This source has these projections. Both sources are using their own projections to create ownership. And then it leads to ownership coming in potentially different, right? Like when we build the ownership projections, they're based off of, a lot of it is based off of, you know, how the players project, right? What is their value? What is their salary? How often are they coming up when we run these builds? So I think that has a lot to do with it. But like I said, I know our team pays a lot of attention to these kind of things early in the season. So feel free to let us know about those. You know, emails are great. Support at SaberSim.com. And we can obviously direct those to the appropriate parties, but that is kind of how the ownership works in a nutshell. All right. Circling back to the first question that we answered, couple follow-ups. During late swap, then, would you recommend portfolio, ROI, or MinUnique? I recommend swapping with whatever you started with. So if you start with MinUniques and ROI, stick with that in your late swap. If you start with portfolio, stick with that in late swap through the entire slate. The reason for that, in my opinion, is you've optimized part of your lineup. Or I'm just going to act like we're playing one lineup. Say you have three pieces locked. Well, those three pieces, you know, use this portfolio method, and the other available positions and salary were kind of configured, even though they haven't locked yet. They were configured around this strategy or this process. When you change the process halfway through, I don't think it is better. I think it's probably a little bit worse, because it's like, I think an extreme example was like, okay, you used projected score pre-slate, and then you used, 99th percentile in late swap. It's like the two halves aren't going to match. And I think that's the point I'm trying to get across, where you want to have this entire lineup optimized based on portfolio, or this entire lineup optimized based on ROI or Sabre score or whatever it is, right? But don't start down a path and then make, you know, a left turn in the middle of the slate. I think that is probably going to end up being worse than using the same optimization method the entire time. So I would pick one, and I would stay in that lane the entire slate. And if you want to change on the next slate, but not in the middle. All right. Another follow-up. Does portfolio take into account ownership fade, or should I create the geometric mean rule to satisfy that? So portfolio does take into account ownership, because it is using Sabre score, which is running a sim, or it is using portfolio plus, which is running a sim for each contest that you are in. So by running the contest sims, we are taking into account the ownerships of the players and figuring out which ones to have positive leverage on and which ones to have negative leverage on. As far as geo mean goes, I think geo mean is better for preventing duplication specifically. Now, does that mean, I don't want to say you cannot use portfolio and geo mean together. You absolutely can't. But I wouldn't just be using geo mean all of the time. I would first be determining, do I need to worry about duplication is I would go back to a past slate that mirrors the one you are playing, right? So let's say that I have decided that I'm going to play NASCAR this upcoming Sunday, right? I'm going to use portfolio, but I'm trying to figure out, hey, do I need to worry about duplication in the upcoming NASCAR slate? Well, what I would do is I would go back to yesterday's NASCAR slate and use that information to figure the answer to that question. So I'm going to go to NASCAR. I'm going to go to yesterday. I'm going to look at the cup race. Okay, great. I go into the contest tab. And then once this loads, say I'm going to put a couple entries in the flagship. Okay, so I'm going to click on the burnout. This is how I would figure it out. I'm going to go over to users. I am going to filter for 150 maxers and sort by sim ROI. And then I'm going to look here at what the average dupes are. Okay, I see 5, I see 2, I see 1s, I see 0s. I do see one double-digit average dupe, but a lot of single-digit ranging anywhere from 0 to kind of like 6 is like a range that I see here. This is my answer to whether or not I'm going to use the geomean rule. Now, me personally, I wouldn't use it here. Unless I end up being the user whose average dupes are like 10. But I think that there's going to be some variance in whether or not your lineups are duplicated. If I am coming in 1 average dupe, 2 average dupes, 3 average dupes, you know, probably even up to 5, I would be okay with that. And I wouldn't do anything additional yet to, make my lineups more unique. I'll say like the approach I take is, well, I'm going to effectively wait for duplication to like punch me in the face before I do something with it, which would mean like I win the contest and I'm duped, you know, 20 times or something like that. Here, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Like that's going to be a big problem. So I'm not going to worry about it yet. So for me, I wouldn't use a geomean rule for NASCAR. But maybe the answer is different for a different sport, right? Maybe you're playing NBA Showdown. Hey, I go and look at, you know, hey, I want to play NBA Showdown tonight. Okay, I do the same process. I go back to yesterday and I go and find an NBA Showdown. And maybe the average dupes are high. I'm like, oh, okay, there's 30 average dupes, 20s, 40s, right? Hey, you know, duplication is obviously a concern in this format. I should just account for it right away. So, that is where I would consider geomean, but I wouldn't consider it for like most NBA classic slates or anything like that. All right. We are caught up with questions here. A lot of questions in the YouTube chat, which is great. A lot of live questions caught up in the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.